Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello and welcome to episode number 106 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm very good. 106.
Yeah, I know.
Don't look a day over 27.
I feel it, man. I'm not stressed at the moment, but I've got a lot on the go. I've got a lot of things going, but mainly because I'm planning on going away soon, but it's all good.
Yeah.
I'm feeling connected to the universe.
You've got to get lots done before you go.
Yeah, I always manage to get it done. What is it, Parkinson's rule or Parkinson's law, where you just...
Doesn't Parkinson's law where you shake quite a lot?
That's something else. What is it about work expanding to fill the time available?
Is that Parkinson's law?
I think so. I might be completely wrong. I'm sure people will tell me if I am. Hey ho, who cares?
That's what Stephen Fry said. It doesn't matter how much you shake it, the last trip always runs down your leg. He said that was Parkinson's law. But I didn't say that on air.
No,
it was Stephen Fry anyway. So.
How you doing? You okay?
Yeah, no, I'm good.
We're cracking on with our little audio course, aren't we?
Yeah. Feedback's been good from people that are doing it. It's been nice.
Well, we'll be nearly halfway through at the end of this one. This is step five. We're talking about intention today.
Yeah.
If you don't know what the steps are, then you're in for a treat because at the moment there's a great offer on where you can read our book. No charge.
Yeah.
But only if you listen to this link, because it's...
For a limited time.
Is it?
It'll go dead after the 10th.
Well, this podcast's going to be online forever, though. What about those poor people that listen to
it? Oh, that's very true.
100 years down the line.
Yeah.
It needs to be live still. And it will be. Yeah. liveinthepresent.co.uk/secret.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Go there, have a look, and follow along, and get in touch as well. Yeah, we're talking about intention today. But we'll get onto that shortly. But yeah, what are you going to Sean?
Pavlova. My life is full of pavlova.
Bless you, yeah.
In our house, Ray and I both cook. I do the savoury, she does the sweet.
Yep.
And
she does a cracking tiramisu.
Well, her signature dish always was the tiramisu, but it's been upstaged by the pavlova.
Is there any in the vicinity?
Yes, it's inside my stomach.
All right, that's close.
It's very close. Yeah. She's perfected the technique of having a crispy outside with a chewy inside.
Okay.
And she makes it in a kind of a cup shape, so it's all filled with yummy filling.
Very berry. You should get her on. What is it? Great British Bake Off.
Do you think?
Yeah. See how she does under pressure. I'm guessing Reed might not do that well under pressure.
No, I don't think she'd be very happy doing that. She'd say, can you turn that camera off?
It'd make great telly though, wouldn't it?
Mm.
Well, for us.
I'd enjoy it.
A wedding. I've got wedding season coming up, and I've just been to my cousin's wedding in Northumberland. I can't remember the name of the house it was in, the grand stately home.
Yep.
In Embleton. Just Google Embleton, Northumberland, or Newton by the Sea.
Mm-hmm.
What a cool part of the world. I'm going up there for a holiday soon. That's where I kick back.
Yeah.
Great wedding with family. I spent a lot of it in the grounds playing football with my 3-year-old and a couple of the other... Because it was kids invited, which...
Yeah.
At the time, you're like, oh, that's great, we can bring them along. But then you kind of think, ugh. I just want to sit back and enjoy myself, you know.
But, yeah.
It's a great dude.
Yeah, kids are wall-to-wall, aren't they?
They're full on.
Yeah.
They're full on. But yeah, where do we lose all that, hey? Where do we lose all that energy?
Yeah, or the ability to play. Like, kids just play, don't they? We have to get permission to play, but they just do it, which is good.
We put little bits of time in our day for play, don't we? Maybe 1 hour a week of a Thursday evening, I'll go play racquetball.
Do you play racquetball?
I don't know, my dad does. I will do, in years to come, I'm sure. Let's crack on, shall we, Sean?
Yeah.
I've mentioned the link already, so I'll do that again. There'll be a blog post on the website in relation to this too, so have a read, but... Step five is intention in the book. And just should we recap step four, which was mindfulness slightly, and how those two merge together?
If we just run it through, the process that we're looking at is needing to get into the present so we can create the future. So if people have been doing the steps and using the book, then they've let go of the past. They've focused in on gratitude to the things that are good into the present.
Yep.
So if people are actually landing in their present now or around now or circling the airport about to come into land, the next issue is about creating the future. How can we create the world that we really, 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 really want?
Okay.
Yeah, and to do that, you have to develop the idea of positive intention to do that.
Righto.
Yeah.
And this is about what we really, 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 really want from life, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's something that people find quite difficult to kind of nail down. It takes a bit of work.
I find it tricky. I still don't really know, I don't think.
Yeah.
I'm still struggling.
Because once people answer the question, when the people really get down to it, and it's not something that's set in stone, it takes you off in a direction. It gives you something to work towards. And that's the bit that's important, is you can start to actually begin to do things.
Yeah, it's time for action, right?
Yeah, getting on with it, yeah? Because we have that phrase, that the world to hell is paved with good intentions.
Is it to hell or heaven? Yeah, it is hell.
No, it's definitely hell. It's definitely hell. And the thing is that most people's intentions never get done. You know, I intend to do that. Oh, I must do that tomorrow. Well, I was going to do that next week. Or I forgot to do that. As opposed to actually having clear intention of what I'm doing.
Yep.
And that is the bit which is really, really important. Because if you don't do anything, nothing changes. Or if you only do the same things that you've always done, nothing changes. So that definition of madness is doing the same things in the same way but expecting a different outcome.
Sure.
Yeah, we've got to change. We've got to change what we're doing. And there's loads of resources in the book online which take you through those processes of how do you change that those inner beliefs, that inner paradigm, into something that you can do.
Yeah.
Because one of the things I'm very aware of, certainly out of my own mouth but out of other people's mouths, are the issue of how we use language to limit ourselves. So I hear people saying, I can't do that, or that's difficult. And as soon as they say that, they hear it, they reinforce it, it becomes a reinforced paradigm in their head,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to changing that, reframing it into, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I'm going to crack it somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah, then we're starting to move forward. It's a different way of looking at the world.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Where are we? Focus. I mean, this is. I've just said that I struggle with this kind of thing. You know, I'm a pretty happy-go-lucky, living the present kind of guy, but I don't know what I want from life. So, am I just not focused enough?
If you think about it, most of us, because of the paradigm, that inner working model we've got inside us, has been given to us by our parents, our culture, our education, our religion, whatever it is. We've got this thing inside us that tells us what it is we should be doing.
Yep.
So we go off and do that. And at some point, some people turn around and say, hang on, what am I doing this for?
Mm-hmm.
And then they start to change it. Well, the only processes I know that get you to the point of change are either that awareness, as in, oh, this is odd, I need to do something different, or it's painful. So sometimes life gets too difficult as it is, and I decide I've got to change something.
Yeah.
Then I start to do stuff that's different. But the issue here is I see lots of people who want to change, but they have the problem that you're describing, which is they don't know what they want to change to. Uh-huh. They know what they don't want, but they know what they do want.
But that's a good place to start, what you don't want, the old T-diagram thing.
Well, yeah, that. Yeah. So if you go back to, this is, I can't remember the guy.
I used to edit out all the others, I don't bother anymore.
Okay, keep him in. It makes it live, it's real. You know the Chicken Soup for the Soul guy?
Jack Canfield.
That's the one. Yes. Jackie boy. In one of his books, he shows a T-diagram, which is a really useful task-orientated form to fill in.
Right.
On the left-hand side, you've got all the things that you don't want, and on the right-hand side, you've got all the things that you do want.
Yeah.
Now, what happens is people say to me, I don't know what I want. So what I say, but you know what you don't want. So let's say they're looking for a new partner. So on the left-hand side of don't wants, they could say, I don't want somebody who snores, say. Classic, yeah? So that what you can immediately go to the other side of the T-diagram and you can write down, well, I don't want someone that's overweight. They probably don't smoke. They don't drink too much. You know, they're fairly kind of fit and healthy.
Yep.
So they don't snore. So there's things that you do know automatically by looking at what you don't want. So you can discover it quite easily if you get into that process. Because most people say, oh, I don't know what I like, but I know what I don't like.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I don't know what music I like, but I can't stand that. You know, that kind of thing.
I got busted snoring in a car the other day. I was with some pals actually on our way back from a do. Being driven back, some close friends and Bethan with me, and I was just nodding off and I let out a little. And it woke me up.
Yep.
How embarrassing. That's just a little side note.
No, I believe that snoring is a natural function of masculinity.
Ah.
It's so that in the wild, when we were sleeping, we'd make such a racket at night, we'd scare away any predators. That's what it is.
I wonder if Beth will be snoring by the time she gets to this point in the podcast, because she still listens to it while she's nodding off. Not every night, but
yeah. On a Thursday. Bethan, wake up!
Of course, yeah. She doesn't snore. I dream of saying such a thing.
Okay, intention.
Yeah.
Yeah? What is it that you want? What do you want? And answering that question may take you a little bit of time, but once you've answered it, the issue is you've then got to do something about it. So you need a plan.
Yep.
You need a plan. So in the book, we talk about forward basing.
Yeah, yeah.
And forward basing is when you would put a sheet of paper on one wall, say use your lounge or down the hallway or something, put a piece of paper on one wall, stick it on there, and then write on that piece of paper where you are now. And then go to the opposite wall, stick another piece of paper up, and write on that piece of paper where you want to get to.
Yep.
So we've got where we are, where we're going. So on the floor in between those two bits of paper, we now use other bits of paper like stepping stones to work out what the steps would be to get from A to B.
Yeah, because it can be very daunting, can't it, when you look at a goal way all the way over there.
How am I going to get there?
Like, but it could be anything from, I don't know, writing a book to,
yeah,
I don't know, launching your own airline.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The people have done these things.
Yep.
But they didn't just do it overnight, did they?
They had to plan how they were going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I use this exercise in the workplace when I'm working with teams that have to go through change. Maybe they're downsizing or whatever. New organisation, new ideas, or merging things together. So it's like, OK, we know where we are and we know where we want to be, but how are we going to get there? So we lay them out on the floor and we can sort out the steps that we need to take to get from A to B.
Yeah.
And then along the side wall, we can timeline it so we can start to work out how long it's going to take us to do these things. One of the things with these, when you're starting to timeline something, is you have to give yourself leeway. Because if you don't hit your target, it doesn't mean say that you failed. It just means that you're a bit behind the line. And that's okay. Maybe you were too enthusiastic with your timeline.
Yeah.
But it's important that you don't develop negative self-imagery. You don't start saying to yourself, oh, I'm a waste of space because I didn't hit it in the time. Yeah, maybe it takes you twice as long as you thought you were going to. But that's okay, as long as you get there. And some people will aim for 100% of something and only make it to 80%. But that's not a bad thing.
Yep.
That's 80% more than where they started.
There may be things even that might not be available in your lifetime. You know, you might just be doing a little bit of humanity's work.
To go on to others.
For the greater good, way down the line. You know?
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is that once you've set up your timeline and you've got your forward base that you're working towards, it could be that halfway along you suddenly realise that this is inappropriate and you need to turn left or right. So you need to do another forward base and change the goal, change the endpoint.
In the technology world, that would be called a pivot.
Yes, a pivot.
When a company's kind of got to a point and realised, we've taken a wrong turn, or we need to go, we're going to do this instead.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So and that's good for any of us. Yeah.
Pivot.
Yeah, yeah, I love it. That's good.
Tech speak. Cool. Yeah.
And the issue for me in this is that when you start to do things, you have to be, I go on and on about it with people in the book, all kinds of stuff, you have to be persistent and consistent. If you don't keep going, you don't keep doing what you're doing, you don't get where you want to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I meet loads and loads of people in later life, and by later life, I mean late 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, of people that are sad, depressed, dumbfounded by the fact that they didn't do what they wanted to do.
Right.
And the thing is that when they're honest with themselves, they knew it back along.
Mm.
But they didn't use the power of intention to create the world that they wanted.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's people listening now at that age, and we don't want to beat them down. There's still time, right?
Oh, yeah. There's always time. I love it. On the TV a while ago, there's a woman in an audience, and the guy comes in with the microphone and says to her, hello, Gladys, or whatever, what's your news? And she was 82, and she said, I've just finished my PhD.
Uh-huh.
And I think, yeah, that's good.
I just saw the headline. About, I might not be able to dig it out for the show notes, about a lady who's just graduated. I think it was a PhD at 102.
Wow.
And I think she'd been denied it back in the late 30s in Nazi Germany.
Yeah, right.
And she'd been, cut off, saying you're not allowed to do that anywhere, or love.
Yeah.
And then 80 years, whatever, she cracked it. So, yeah, it's never too late.
I think that's amazing. I love that.
Mm.
I love that.
Pretty awesome, eh?
Yeah. Yeah. So. And that sense of lifelong learning. One of the things it says in the book, one of your graphics that you put up, is that thing about once you stop learning and you cease living, then you start dying.
Yes, when we cease to learn, we begin to die. I'm not sure where I got that one from. Must have...
It maybe it was an intuitive... It just
came from my own head. It's my photo behind it, I should say. Which is why I know we give the book away for free as part of this course. Or don't give it away, you can read it for free on the website.
Yep.
You should think about grabbing yourself a copy because it's quite a cool thing. And in terms of intention, it's a good example of how we worked together to get this thing done because you'd written this thing or you had this thing in your head even.
Yeah.
And then a couple of years later, whatever, it's this thing online, isn't it?
And hundreds of people have done it.
Yeah, that you can hold in your hands, and it's a pretty cool thing, actually. It's still one of the best things ever.
Yeah, the amount of times people say to me, and I'll go back to it loads of times.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I need a boost, or I need reminding, or I need to get back on track, that kind of stuff.
Well, that version of the book there you've got, that's not what it looks like when you buy it on the website now. This is I think that was version 2 or something, the cover changed after that. It's a white cover with an orange back. In fact, it's different on the inside as well.
Yeah.
May I?
Yeah, yeah.
Don't worry. This is going to be worth a lot of money one day. Yeah, see, that's different. That's not in the... I've changed these kind of content titles.
Do you think this will be a collector's item?
I think it might be.
I'll put it in the safe.
Different font for the headings.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I'll keep all of that.
I think I've got another one of these. I think there were two.
Maybe they get a couple done. Yeah. Anyway, Oh, there you go. It's gone. Yeah, intention, eh? But I'm sure there's a Steve Jobs, one of his commencement address speech thingies is about the importance of living your own dream rather than someone else's. Because, I mean, we're all watching telly, we're all on the Tinterweb all day and night, reading about how we should live our lives, what we should look like, where we should be going on our holidays, what car we should buy and all that rubbish.
Yep.
And how much of it just shouldn't apply to us.
Yeah.
Eh?
Probably most of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and if you strip people's lives down, if you make it more mean, lean, and keen kind of thing, most of the rubbish that we keep in our houses we don't need anyway.
Yeah,
you know, we build up all these things where we need to have something. We need to get the new appliance. We need to get the new bit of tech.
Yeah,
or the new bit of fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And really, does it make any difference?
Mm-hmm. Yeah? Probably not. I know you haven't got an Apple Watch on yet. You're not sold on that, are you?
No. No, I don't get the Apple Watch because you have to have a phone to make the watch work, which means you might as well take the phone out and use the phone, surely.
Yeah.
Or am I missing something here?
Well, it's slightly less effort, which cumulative over time might add up, but yeah, I'm not sold on it yet.
The only thing I could think is if I was in a meeting and people are texting me, could I reply?
You can, yeah. I think it's got a clever way. They're updating the software all the time. It can kind of automatically suggest to you and you can tap one or the other. I don't know.
Yeah,
I've had a little play. It's cool, but yeah, give it time. Yeah.
That whole Bluetooth thing's very, very clever. Whoever had the intention to make the Bluetooth connect.
Yeah, Bluetooth's just like short range radio, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's not that.
But as soon as I get in the car, my phone connects straight into the system in the car.
Yeah.
Just clicks on.
Mm. Clever stuff. And all this stuff was developed with intention, wasn't it? And
That somebody had a dream.
Iterations.
They had an idea, a forward base to work towards.
Yep.
And then they started to use persistent and consistent action to create what they were doing to get to their end point, which is the only reason why we have all those things around us anyway.
Right.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this, the only question that you really need to answer is, what do you want?
Yep.
What do you want? What do you really want? What do you really, really, really want?
Because
if you can answer that question, then you can get a crack on with your life.
It mentions in the book the importance of a bit of silent time to help find that truth, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you call it the void in the book, don't you?
Yeah. But, and
quite
so,
menacing,
do you think? I think. Going into the void.
Touching the void, which is a good film, by the way. You've seen that?
No.
Not near anymore.
No.
It's a documentary about a couple of guys that had a bit of an incident on the way back down from, I'm not sure what mountain.
Oh,
it was,
yeah,
actually.
No, I know the story, yeah.
South America somewhere.
Yep.
Yeah, one of them crawled his way back
yep.
to camp. Survived. Amazing. Don't yeah. give the end away. Sorry, guys. Yeah. But watch it. Yeah. But yeah, The Void.
Well, getting into The Void means, for me, means sort of stepping out of the time-space continuum, as you'd say. And it's like getting your head out of all the rubbish and the nonsense of the moment so that you can allow yourself to focus and maybe hear the answer to your question. If the question is, what do I really, 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 really want? If you shut all the noise up from around you and focus within, you might just get the answer.
Yeah.
You might just find it.
Mm-hmm.
But that whole issue about meditating, about creating space that we can use, some people find that in the running, in doing something, which is fairly kind of metronomic, like the slap of your feet, takes you back into that kind of relaxed void.
Yep.
Which is a good place to be. Yeah. You know, we've tried for 2 years now to get you meditating. You know where near it, are you?
No, it's just as close as I've ever been.
Doesn't float your boat.
Don't float me, but no.
So if you need to focus and you need to get into your own void, your own zone, your own space, how do you do it? What do you do?
It's tricky to say, really. If I think back to the points in my life where I've been most inspired and I've had some good thinking time, it's when I've plotted out these little mini adventures or maxi adventures I've had, you know, so it's like every year or two I'll go and do something mad, like climb Mont Blanc or...
But when you're halfway up Mont Blanc, are you in your zone?
I think so, yeah. When I'm in that... I'm in training for it, it's because of that physical intensity.
Yeah.
It's probably then, you know.
Yeah.
When everything slips away and I'm...
Maybe you need to do it more.
Yeah, there's a climbing wall in Liverpool, isn't there? Awesome walls, I should go there.
Yeah.
A bit more often. I'm not into running. Have you got back into running yet?
I'm due to start not this coming Friday, the Friday after.
Yeah.
We have Conrad will be round.
Our trainer.
Getting me going. Yeah.
Good. All right, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I need to plan another adventure for next year, actually. I'm starting to have a little think about what it might
be. But that's the point, isn't it? Is that you get the idea of, okay, next year I want to do this thing. Now, unless you give that positive intention to it and you make it happen, it just becomes one of those kind of pipe dreams. It was a nice idea and why didn't I do that?
Yeah, and I really enjoy the planning today. I mean, it's a plan like the cycling thing I did last year at Scotland or the Mont Blanc things I've done. It takes a year of just thought, slowly building up to it. So it's that initial idea. Maybe someone suggests it or I'll think it myself. And then it's the little bits of research along the way and then just thinking before I go to bed about what it might be like or things I need to do or kit lists, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So there's little steps, isn't it?
Yep.
So it's not just about that week I'm away or that 3 or 4 days when I'm burning the calories. It's the whole year building up to it.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's all full of just good stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that a good way to end it?
Yeah. Good. Good. Mm. But I think that in terms of looking at what kind of resources we'd put in with this for this week, what I put in for the resource for me is the book that was previous to the Live in the Present book, which is Waking Up. Because that whole process of waking up to your potential to enable you to create your future is so important. And if you haven't come across the Waking Up book, I do recommend that you go and have a look, because it is another life changer book.
It's good. And I tell you what's interesting about that: the cover has changed since I did the first one, but that was our first introduction, you and I, Sean. Because
it was,
I was working at Clapbridge and met Ree doing the computer training, and then she put me in touch with you.
Right.
Look where we are now.
Yeah. Well.
Not much further on.
We're changing the world here.
Oh, you're kidding? Yeah, we got our legions of fans around the world. We just had an email from Ecuador today. Someone asking, just us thanking us and saying how much they love the show, but also asking if we can put a search bar on the website, which is on there. I would have emailed back by now anyway. But
is it on, is it?
Yeah, it's on there. It's in the sidebar. So you can search for, whatever you want. Allowing.
That's good.
Which is what's up next, isn't it?
Yeah.
Without giving
that's good. That's good. I love it, that this technology, and again, it was created by someone's intention to create it, that you and I, through this medium, can talk to people all over the world, and they come back and talk to us.
It's amazing.
And it's incredible, yeah. I love it.
Awesome.
It's good.
Right, have you got resource of the week?
No, I'm saying that my resource is the Waking Up book. I think it would be really useful for people at this point in what we're doing.
Cool, I've got one. I haven't written it down, But it's a website. It's called Wait But Why. Oh yeah. .com.
Wait But Why.
Let me just check that. Wait. But yeah, waitbutwhy.com. I knew it.
What does it do?
He's a writer. He just writes about stuff that he's interested in. Yeah. And I came across him because he did a feature with a chap called Elon Musk, who's my hero, basically. Who Elon actually, I think, emailed him to see if he could be on the website's feature, and it turned. He did a short blog about Elon and how he's the coolest man in the world, which you should read. But then he did an epic 25,000-word blog post about Tesla, the electric car company that he does 2 days a week.
Right.
The other 2 days, two more days, he does his rocket company, and then he spends a day doing something else.
Right.
Just ridiculous. But it's an amazing blog post. It's worth bookmarking and reading, because it kind of iterates on how the whole history of energy and how we've got to this point now where electricity is going to have to power everything, and how that electricity is going to have to be, you know, created from the sun and the wind and renewable sources, or we're screwed, you know, in the next 100 years.
Yeah.
It talks about every step of energy, the evolution of energy.
Yeah.
And it's just incredible.
I mean, if you go back to Tesla as a figure, as a man, the work he did and the breakthroughs he had were amazing, I think.
I know. He talks about this interesting point around the early 1900s when there were electric cars, and there were obviously petrol or gas-powered cars, and it was Henry Ford that managed to basically win the war, but it set us back 100 years, really, because if electric had won then, it would be much better off, really, emissions-wise and all that.
Yeah, I wonder how much the power block of the petrochemical world has actually held back the development of electrical devices.
Well, that's all mentioned in there. Yeah, it's huge. Yeah. It's huge, but read it and you'll be sold on electric cars. It's amazing. But yeah, we're getting there slowly but surely, hey?
Yeah.
Iterations and intention.
Yeah, love it.
Cool. Good. Okay, next up, step 6 is allowing, which is a tricky one, isn't it? And on the course, I remember this is quite often one that would... There'd be fisticuffs and people screaming and shouting.
Yeah.
In the same way that forgiveness of some people is hard to come by.
Yeah.
Allowing people to be idiots is tricky too.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, we'll get there.
But it's a fun one.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay.
Find us on the website, livingthepresent.co.uk, Twitter and Facebook, especially Facebook, because Rhee puts a load of time into that.
Yes. Yeah, good stuff.
And just email us or send us a message on there and say hello and get in touch, because we love hearing from you, don't we?
Yeah.
Alright, until next week, Sean, I'll see you.
Okay, you take care.
See you, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.